Good morning, church, and good morning to you, God. Well, yesterday was quite the day. My little 9-to-be-10-year-old tomorrow granddaughter celebrated her birthday with her friends at a place called Uptown Alley. It's a perfect example of what Hades might be like. It's fun, you know, like games and bowling and alcohol and food and people everywhere. Anyway, so then in 2 days, 2 days after that, my son will celebrate his birthday. So all kinds of things going on that bring me joy. One of the things that brings me joy is reading and studying the scripture, which I had to do a lot of thinking about with today's scripture. I thought it might be convenient to preach on Acts, but I love these other two passages, these John passages, so much I just had to dive in. So one thing I don't want to do is to start out talking all about love. I've been told that I talk about love too much. Okay, and both of these scriptures we read this morning are familiar, and they both have a pretty clear message, I think, and that message is that the center of our faith and the center of following Jesus is to follow the way of love. So now I'm going to step away from love just a little bit, and I'm sure that each one of you know how holy it is, that is, in my life and in my ministry, and the importance of the commandment to love self, love God and one another. But there are words in these passages that strike me in context of the scripture, but also out of context of the scripture and in the context of our lives as disciples of Jesus. The first word is abide. I love that word. Yes, Wilhelmina loves it too. It feels so warm. It's like when I think about abiding with God, I think about God wrapping his arms around me and holding me gently and saying, it's okay. It's going to be okay. The idea of God abiding in each of us and us in him, that's the kicker. Not only does God abide in us, but we abide in him. How important is that? That we are that important to God, that he wants us, he welcomes us, he invites us in. So think about it, just for a second. If God loves us and we love God, then there is absolutely an unbreaking bond that exists between us, a bond that cannot be broken. And Jesus says, this is all done through the power of the Spirit. So here we have God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Spirit, coming together as one God, many ways to be with us, to abide with us, and to invite us to abide with him. Through the power of that Spirit, we can be assured that Jesus is indeed the Son of God and the Savior of the world. God abides in every one of us that is brave enough, and I say brave enough because I think it takes a lot of courage to be a Christian. Brave enough to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. I can't imagine that any of you have ever not heard somebody arguing about how preposterous it might be that Jesus was, is, and continues to be. Takes courage to stand up and say, oh yes, he is. Now I got to take a break for a second and use the L word. And I can't avoid that because it's so central to what we're talking about this morning. What John says about our relationship with God, to abide in him, and he in us, is perfect love. He abides in us. And when God abides in us, there is no room in our being for hate. That's just the way it is. And this has spurred me to be even more conscientious about my road rage vocabulary. I don't even feel comfortable when I use it anymore, because I've talked about it enough and I've prayed about it enough to realize that when I do that, that I belittle me, not the person that I'm yelling at. The word abide creates for me a sense of peace and harmony, not like peace, y'all, you know, but real, true peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that can only come from Jesus. That peace and harmony in my relationship with God, and my relationship with others, and my relationship with myself is central to how I live and how I live a rule of life, which we've talked about before. There's only room for love when we love God, when we invite God's love to abide in us. All of this isn't just a good idea. It's not just a good idea to say, oh, God's love, I love you, everybody loves me. It's a way of life. It's a way to salvation. And the importance of bringing the good news of that salvation to the world, that's what we're called to do. The other thing I really like about the readings today is the concept of God. Jesus is the vine and God is the vine grower. And all those things, those images that come to me, and I'm sure come to some of you, about what it is to grow something and to tend to it. And sometimes you have to cut it back and sometimes you have to rip it out. That's just the way it is. But even so, we're still all connected to God if we proclaim that God is indeed our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. The importance, again, is the idea of staying connected. It's about a vine, and it's a beautiful image of this vine growing and God pruning it, and it just blooming forth with fruit. And when something's not right, God takes it out and puts it away. That's what our community should be like. It says in the Bible that if someone errs in your congregation, that you go to them. And if they don't listen, then you take another person or so or two and go to them. And then at some point, you just have to like take the whole congregation to them. And sometimes they hear and sometimes they don't. It is so important for us to go out and bring the good news of salvation to the world. It's kind of a challenge of how we consider the metaphor of the vine. It's easy to slip over into the idea that, well, God plucks these things out and then he burns them. And it's just as easy to say, well, God only takes care of the stuff that he loves, the stuff that's beautiful. The point is that all of it is part of the community. And all of it is part of who God is and how God takes care of us. In this passage, Jesus is speaking with his disciples about who he is. This is part of the I am in John. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. And it demonstrates the relationship between himself and his Father as being intricate and nourishing, but not without discipline. Discipline is an important part of our relationship with God. We have to be disciplined to do God's work in our own lives and in the world. Jesus offers the disciples an image of mutual dependence, that they need to work together, and mutual purpose. They have to work together as one. They have to work together to bring the news of salvation. In this image of the vine, Jesus offers them a way to understand the concept of mutual dependence with God and the hope and gift of abundant life. Jesus says, you are the branches. Branches of a vine, of a divine vine, if you will. Jesus is the divine, and we are intricately and perfectly attached. We depend on that vine as branches. We can't live without the energy of the vine. We are, you are the branches. It sets in motion for me my purpose, our purpose of being a disciple in the world. Jesus makes it clear to his disciples that how important the relationship is with God, God the vine grower, how important it is for us to bear fruit as an offering of our love and of obedience to God, and how important it is to recognize our relationship with God in all things. Now, I know, and you know, that it's really easy to skip over all this love stuff and talk about how the branches that are pruned away are burned. It's an interpretation that a lot of people consider as an introduction or a thought, part of the introduction of a thought of hell and fire and brimstone and all of that. But the thing of it about it that doesn't work for me in that is because we are told in John that if we believe, we are saved. So if those of us are cut away that have been believers but are not bearing fruit, are they still saved? Presumably, people who declared their belief in Jesus sometimes fall away, sometimes don't follow through. Are they just clipped away and forgotten? I can't imagine that to be true. Now, I also can't promise you that I can explain to you any of this as to how God might see it, how God might understand, how Jesus might understand some of these images. But I do know this, that the focus of this passage and the focus of the other John reading is very clear. Love is at the center of it all. If we hate someone, if we judge someone, if we look to someone else as being less than us, we cannot be filled with the love of God. We are called to be in relationship with God and to stay connected like the vine and the branches are connected to the idea of the kingdom. I have to ask the question, is Jesus preaching fire and brimstone, eternal punishment? Or is he preaching community and how each of us is in mutual relationship with one another and with God? When I did prison ministry, a lot of my ministry was with youth. And some of the groups that came in to do Bible study with the kids said that they were bringing in the message of salvation to the prisoners, to the captives. And they make a presentation to these young teenagers that they need to decide right then and right there that they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And if they don't, and they die that night, they're done. That's a tough thing for a teenager to hear. And I know so many of those kids went and accepted Christ, but had no idea what they were doing. They didn't understand the faith and the idea of faith in the context of love and in the context of community. And I brokered many a argument and discussion about this passage or this concept with the kids. And I can only bear testimony that the God I follow, the God that I love, is a God of love. And God created each one of us, and each one of us is wonderfully and beautifully made. And somewhere in the eternal plan, I'm not sure what it is, but somewhere in the eternal plan, each one of us is offered an opportunity to come to God, to come to Jesus. And I respect those who think that maybe this is about something a little bit different. We all have to wrestle with these things in our lives and in our faith, and that's okay, because that's what God wants us to do. If we want to learn about God, we need to learn the Bible. If we need to understand God, we need to read the Bible and study it and figure it out and listen and understand that there are places where it seems like may seem like, and then it may seem like, Those are things that we have to work out in prayer. No matter what, we are commanded in every place in our lives to love and care for ourselves, one another, and God. Abide in God. Love one another and yourself. Love God. Know that however we conceptualize the burning of the sheaves that do not bear fruit, Jesus still died for them. Jesus says, I am the vine. Amen. Please stand.